Good morning. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, May 2nd. I'm Kirk Ludlow.
And I'm Jessica Ralston. Katie and Buck are here. We're going to celebrate the big win as we reflect on another big achievement for the crew. We want to check in on our old owner, Anthony Precourt, who wanted to move our beloved black and gold to Austin. He now owns a team there.
And actually, we just got some video into the newsroom showing their trophy case. And wow, would you look at that?
We are throwing some shade.
Still nothing in it. Planet Dirty this morning.
Whoa.
Our producer woke up and chose violence.
Football America! It's live and underway here on ESPN. I'm Sebastian Salazar, and this is episode 351. In just a few seconds, we're going to hear from our good friends Hercules Gomez and Mauricio Pedrosa. But how about the intro there from our friends at Good Day Columbus with the shots fired at Anthony Precourt, who, of course, last night had to watch not just the team he didn't want, but the city he didn't want celebrate making history. He is nowhere close to making down in Austin. Some might call it karma. We call it the crew here on Football Americas. On this edition of Football Americas, lots to discuss. We've got Serginho Dest and the sad news that he has confirmed an ACL injury. We've got Alphonso Davies not starting in the Champions League for Bayern Munich. Very interesting. We might have called that on last week's edition of the show. We're also going to be talking to Ali Krieger, looking ahead to some NWSL action, some U.S. Women's National Team action, and we'll be discussing the World Cup bid for 2027, which looks like it's been pushed back to 2031. Plus, we've got a top 10 that is going to make you blow your top. But before we get to all that, let's head to Las Vegas, the original Sin City, where I heard it was like a balmy 80 degrees today. Didn't get the invite for this trip out to Las Vegas, but a couple of superstars did. They are, of course, Mauricio Pedrosa and Hercules Gomez. You know them from Football Americas as well as Ahora o Nunca. Guys, great to have you with us. How's the Canelo coverage going? Any fights in the pressers today?
Ooh, no fights as of yet. Well, a few scuffles, media credential scuffles. We'll leave that to the side. We'll talk about that some other time, Seb. But it's been a good time here at Canelo versus Jaime Munguia. We're at the media center here at MGM Grand, the casino. It's slow right now, but a few hours ago, this place was busting.
Yeah, the only fight was actually between me and you trying to decide who was going to pay for lunch.
Yeah.
In the end, it was a split decision.
See what you did there. All right.
And I ended up winning that fight. I also won the fight of who was going to wear long pants.
That's what I was going to say the fight should have been about, trying to convince this guy not to wear shorts. What's going on over there? My gosh.
Well, when you got the legs, what do you want me to do?
Come on, man.
What do you want me to do?
That's borderline. Borderline, yeah. Ricardo.
TMI, and then there's TMHG. Too much Hercules Gomez. No such thing here on Football Americas. Let's get to the action from the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals between the aforementioned Columbus Crew and Rayados. Emotional times in the world of Mexican soccer. Paco Villa, legendary commentator, passing away. A moment of silence there in Monterrey and on your television screens, as one of the icons behind the mic in Mexican football was honored. As for the game itself, there was an early chance for Columbus. Now, they weren't wasteful too much throughout this series, but right here, guys, Cucho can't quite find the back of the net.
Yeah, Cucho can't find the back of the net, but you see the intention opening 10 minutes from Columbus. They were flying. Cucho sees an opening. He's going to take that.
Columbus was flying until this. 11 minutes in. Remember, the crew leading 2-1 after the first leg. Let's make it 2-2. The own goal there as Rayados equalize.
Yeah, I have my doubts. I thought there was an offside. It was reviewed by VAR. Close call in the end. Unlucky for the crew. But you see the intention from Rayados. Long balls trying to find the skilled players like Maxi Mesa.
Cheverco there, the guilty party on the own goal. Rayados with a chance here. Jesus Gallardo with a header miss.
Yeah, I think at the end it's Romo. It's Luis Romo who gets his head on this. But you see the intentions. They got some bodies in the box. Put the ball in there.
First half stoppage time. Rayados bad giveaway. And Aiden Morris going to take full advantage here to make it 1-1 and 3-2 crew up on aggregate.
All credit to Morris, the awareness, finding the mistake, but I mean, how can you not blame Andrada? That lack of concentration when the half was about to be over.
Yeah, look at Romo. Look at Luis Romo. He doesn't anticipate the error right there. Aiden Morris beats him, and then Aiden Morris calmly, look where he tucks it away.
Great finish.
Defender.
Great finish.
Andrada could only see it go by.
Early second half, 4 minutes in. Columbus looking for some insurance. Diego Rossi going to give it to him.
Also, the first touch by Rossi, fantastic controlling the ball. And then his, we're used to seeing Diego Rossi finishing like this, but you could tell from Fernando Ortiz's reaction, it was trouble for Rayados de Monterrey.
What about that inclusion of Matan? It only took a few minutes to make his mark.
4-2 on aggregate there. We go to the 89th minute. Crew going to deliver the dagger. A guy who's been playing awesome of late, Jason Russell Rowe, 3-1.
Yeah, Jason Russell Rowe, which I may add, last year made $75,000 annually, puts the dagger, the nail in the coffin to Rayados. An abysmal night for Andrada. Had no business coming out. He does. He pays.
And late on, Columbus, not quite satisfied. Going to get a penalty here, no doubt about this one, yeah?
Lucha Libre right there, no, man?
Yeah, I think this is even for Lucha Libre, this is not allowed. You could tell Andrada was already out of the game since that mistake to finish the first half. What a night for the Crew. Christian, hey, the good old LA guy converting. No, senor. Andrada was there to save that PK in the end. The victory
Columbus
for the Crew.
Winning 3-1 on the day, 5-2 on aggregate. Here's Wilfred Nancy postgame.
When I signed in this club, after maybe one week, I said to my wife, this club deserves something. Because yes, this is a good club. Yes, this is a really good people and also really good player and so on. But the history behind that and the ways I fought to keep this club in this city, listen, all the time when I see the fans behind us, this is a soccer town. There is no doubt about this. And this is really, really nice. And I'm really, really proud of that.
Crew making history seemingly at every turn, or at least every couple weeks here, as they advance past Rayados in CONCACAF play just weeks after doing the same to another big boy out of Liga MX in Tigres, with both of those second legs, by the way, away in Mexico. Guys, we can hit the big picture for both sides of this thing in just a second, but let's start with kind of last night, what we thought of the respective performances from Columbus and Rayados.
Well, I was not surprised by that Columbus performance. We knew that was a great team. That's the current Major League Soccer champs. But at the same time, I was not surprised by that poor performance from Rayados de Monterrey. Yes, this is a very talented team. Yes, they put a lot of confidence in this manager. But this manager and this group of players have over and over failed to perform at the highest of levels come crunch time. And this was crunch time for Rayados de Monterrey. All credit to the Crew, because this is a great team. They know exactly what to do, when to do it. They understand their philosophy. So all credit to them. And at the same time, disappointed by Rayados, yes, but we used to see this from them.
You guys asked me last week, I told you, I don't trust this Rayados team. They did what they always do. They buckled, they folded in the most important moments and at home. Let me give the Leverkusen of Ohio some credit here. That team, that performance was ridiculous. Now, what I mean by ridiculous is they get scored on opening 10 minutes. They are flying. They are flying. It looks like Rayados doesn't know what's going on. Rayados gets a goal, and all of a sudden, it looks like Columbus doesn't want the ball. It looks like Columbus can't find the pockets. Aiden Morris doesn't get on the ball. Darlington Nagbe, who seems always so confident and fluid, not on it, doesn't want it. And then they get their goal. They kept pressing, they fought, they defended, they scratched, they clawed, they get their goal, and it's emotional paralysis for Rayados. And what we're used to seeing from Mexican teams, the dominance they have over Major League Soccer teams in the second legs, was the opposite. Ohio's Leverkusen, the Columbus Crew, Wilfred Nancy's team took over. It was on display. If you look at that second goal, it was more than 13 passes, more than a minute possession against a star-studded, rich roster like Rayados, and then the dagger. And once that dagger came in, I'm talking about that Diego Rossi goal, it was over.
Mm. Guys, from a Rayados perspective, I got to look at that Andrada play, because there's a lot of things we can say about this team and maybe the organization as a whole, but if he doesn't make that mistake in that moment just before the half, you got to think that we might be having a very different conversation here. And it's such a stupid mistake, right? Not just from the goalie, obviously, end of the half, you're up 1-0 at home, not a place to be messing around. But what do we know, guys, about Columbus? If there's anything anybody knows about Columbus, is they're going to try to press the living hell out of you. So why would Rayados be doing that? They're either making dumb mistakes on the field, yeah, or they're not very well coached. And we may get to Tan Ortiz and his future in just a little bit, man. But for Columbus here, I mean, they played beautifully, Herc, right? But they also, to your point, held their nerve. They went down early here, and that's when you expect historically for us to see the meltdown of the Major League Soccer team in Mexico. And they do the exact opposite. They do what championship teams do. They score a goal in the important moments, just before the half, just after the half. And in the second half, guys, they put this game away in such a kind of devastating fashion. The Rayados fans were leaving. They were leaving the stadium with 10 minutes to go in the game.
They were fighting each other.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They were fighting each other.
It was crazy. So I think we just have to tip our caps here to a brilliant, brilliant performance from the Columbus crew and a really tough team. And it's not a fluke, guys. We've talked about it before. They gave up a trash goal against Tigres early on. Could have melted down there, didn't in advance. They gave up down 2 goals with 15 minutes to go in the Eastern Conference Finals against FC Cincinnati last year. They don't melt down. Like, this team plays beautifully, but they are mentally tough too. And that, to me, really sets them apart. Let's go big picture then on the crew, boys, since we're talking about them. What is the significance here, either for Columbus, or if you want to take it down the MLS route, of Columbus being able to beat two of the biggest spending teams in Liga MX back-to-back in a real, not Leagues Cup, a real international competition?
I love that he said that. I love that you said that because that's where I'm going with it. I'm going to take this big picture, Major League Soccer. There's been a major hit in MLS's credibility down south when it comes to this tournament. Oh, look, it's not on your home soil. Oh, look, it's not your Mickey Mouse tournament. It's an actual home and away series. And look what we're doing to your teams. Look what we did to Philadelphia. Look what we did to New England. This is your level? This is the best you have to show for yourself? It was taking a major hit in credibility down south. This gives it some credibility. This gives it more than credibility. Now they understand that there are teams that can not only compete, but that can downright embarrass you like Columbus did.
Mm. I disagree.
No.
I disagree. I think this is a great win for Columbus. I think this is fantastic for the crew. It doesn't mean that now every time a Major League Soccer team will go and play on Mexican soil, this will happen. This is the exception to the rule. Mm. The rule is the opposite. And I presented to you guys the stat, I think it was last week, when we were talking about these matches. Every time a Major League Soccer team had to face a series, home and away, against Liga MX, they only advanced 7% of the time. That is still the rule. This was the exception. Mm-hmm. This was an amazing team, very well coached, playing as a team. That was, to me, one of the biggest differences between the crew and Rayados. The crew plays as a team. Rayados, a bunch of individuals, but that so far haven't been able to prove that they can play as a team. But let's not get this confused. This does not mean that Major League Soccer now has Liga MX's number.
Nobody said that.
Well, you were implying that a little bit. You were implying that a little bit. So, yes, tip of the cap to the crew, but this is the exception to the rule.
There's
Liga MX still dominates the series.
Every year there's an exception to the rule that reminds
people. Not every year.
People. Every year.
No, not every year.
Seattle,
not every year.
Toronto, LAFC twice. Every year.
Yes. Still Tigres, León, they won at LAFC.
But there's a team that shows you that they can compete. This season, this tournament, the way things were going, that wasn't the case.
How many MLS teams do you think are able to do what the crew did this season? Go and beat Tigres at El Volcán. Go and beat Rayados at BBVA.
Nobody's arguing with you on that. I'm telling you that MLS, Major League Soccer, took a hit in their credibility
with
this tournament.
Yes, they
did. That's all I'm
saying.
One team, boys.
Columbus showed that.
One team.
One team. One team in MLS that could do this. That could do this. But they are an MLS team, Mal. You got to give them some credit there.
But every year it's one team. Every year.
It's not every year that one team beats Tigres and Rayados. This is. Let's give this its due, Herc. I think we got to give this its due.
LAFC beat Cruz Azul, beat León, and beat Tigres.
Did LAFC win it?
Oh, no. No, they didn't beat Tigres. I'm sorry. That's the one I lied on. They didn't beat
Tigres. No, it was
Tigres
Toronto.
The team of the day.
Toronto beat America and Tigres the same tournament, and then they lost to Chivas in the final.
LAFC as well. They beat Cruz Azul. They beat America. They played the final against LAFC. Remember in Orlando?
Yes.
The bubble.
Tigres.
Yes.
No?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, correct. But neither here nor there. What I'm trying to tell you is every year there's one team that at least raises the flag. This year, until Columbus did it, it was a clean sweep. And it wasn't only a clean sweep, Seb. It was embarrassing score lines. 6-0, yeah. Philly in El Estadio Hidalgo. You had a crazy, I don't even know what was the final score of the New England-America game. And America played, I don't even know what it was, but it was embarrassing score lines. They took a hit in credibility, and Columbus crew bought it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're witnessing a historic team, whether they win the CONCACAF Champions Cup or not, because we've seen teams go down to Mexico and survive. We've seen maybe teams go down to Mexico and what you guys are talking about, get a result necessary to advance. We've never seen a team go down to Mexico against one of the big boys like this and ping the ball around in the second half. I mean, that was luxury stuff from the crew. And I don't think it's an if. I think it's a when they beat Pachuca. We're going to have to have a real serious talk about this team being one of the best maybe in MLS
Easy.
History. Boys, hey, quickly on Rayados. Quickly on Rayados. What's the key to the fracaso here?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Listen, if I know Rayados, I know what they're good for, and that is nothing in big time moments like this. Post-game, Tano Ortiz said it all of where this team is and where Tano Ortiz is with this team. They said there was a question asked by a reporter, another goal right after halftime. You had goals right before halftime. You had goals to start off the game against you. And Tano Ortiz, and Mal's not going to let me lie, when he was asked, what was up with that, turned around and said, maybe you should ask the players. That right there told me everything I needed to know about Tano Ortiz and this team. Throwing his own players under the bus. This team folds. This team buckles when it matters most. They did it again like I knew they would.
I understand putting blame on the players. I understand that. If you're a winning coach, right? If you have trophies, right? If you have championships to present to the table, then you can talk about players'
Correct.
Lack of performance.
Correct.
But when this is your fifth time being eliminated in semifinals in a row, then there's also something wrong with you. And we discussed this a little bit earlier on Ahora o Nunca, because I said, I think Tano is not lying. Players
right.
are to blame.
It was Andrada and Ramos
but I think as a manager, at the same time, you have to go and say, yes, players were wrong because they did this, and that. But I was wrong as well, because I didn't understand when I had to make this or that substitution. Maybe this player was not up to that level. Maybe he shouldn't have started. But it's never Tano Ortiz. And this is a pattern now, because the same thing happened when he was the manager for Club America.
Yeah,
remember
Chivas.
That press conference against Chivas? It was all Alvaro Fidalgo, the record. It was never him. He's never wrong. So I feel that in you being a former player, when a manager says something like that, now it's Liguilla time. And that's not gonna sit
and
well with the roster, with the team.
Except if you're asking maybe he's on the hot seat, do you know who they face in Liguilla? The one team they did not want to face. That is his future hanging on a balance of a result right there. If they cannot beat Tigres, ciao, he gone.
You cannot hide that smile, huh?
Me?
No.
Yeah, because it's Cena there. You cannot hide that smile. You're trying. You're
anybody who watched America can't be surprised to see Tano Ortiz go out here. But, man, they got some big-name players on that team that very much underperformed in this game. They spent a lot of money to not get a very good product in this second leg against the Columbus Crew. So
the most money,
you might have to ship the manager out, but you might have to rebuild around some of these players, man. Get some of these guys, these Maxi Mesas, these Sergio Canales, these big-spending guys that aren't producing, man. I don't know. You come to Liga MX on $10 million
unfair.
Like Sergio Canales, you better do more than you did last night. You better do a lot more than you did last night. Let's move on. Instead of criticizing Dan Ortiz's team, let's criticize the team he used to coach, Club America, who are taking on Pachuca in their second leg. In Pachuca on Tuesday night after a 1-1 draw in the first leg in Mexico City. We'll pick this one up 12 minutes in. Where Pachuca opened the scoring, a little bit of a lucky bounce for Miguel Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rondon shoots off Lichnowsky. It's right there, perfectly set up for Rodriguez. Watch this, the shot, and then watch it sit for him. Right there, it's going to stop. Beautifully finished. Malagon has no chance.
Pachuca up 2-1 on the aggregate. 2 minutes later, the home side strikes again, this time through the Colombian. Nelson De Osa making it 2-0 Pachuca on the day and 3-1 on aggregate.
Also a little bit of luck twice off the rebound. Good save by Malagon, but De Osa has a cannon in his left foot. And again, speed kills. That's really hard for Club America to cover.
America responding in the 23rd minute. Henry Martin the goal, the assist from Alejandro Sendejas.
Sendejas was ridiculous all night. This is with the right foot. What a brain on this guy. What vision. Sees him all alone. Hits him.
Henry Martin, great chance here over the bar. Could have tied it on aggregate. Instead, a miss.
This was the one for Club America. He also had a chance to keep on passing to the left-hand side. Quiñones was all by himself. That was a big miss in the end.
Quiñones all by himself here, and with good reason, despite the ball being in the back of the net. Quiñones offside, boys.
Yeah, maybe half a yard offside. Good finish, but this was as good as it got for Quiñones on this night.
Second half, America threatening. Hidalgo with the shot. Not a lot of mustard on that as Las Aguilas struggling to break through. Pachuca with a chance here. Montiel gonna get the header. And Malagon with a big time stop right there to keep America in it. Pachuca still pushing later in this game around the 90th minute. They're off to the races. America in desperation mode. Israel Reyes pulls the man down and he gone. America reduced to 10 men and that would be all she wrote for Las Aguilas, who lose 3-2 on aggregate and 2-1 away to Pachuca on the night. All right, as we did with the last game, let's leave the big picture aside for just a minute. Where should we start with this breakdown of what we saw, boys, on Tuesday night?
Can I ask, did your primo bet? Did he go big on this America? Because I know both of you, when I told you guys not to last week, 2 weeks ago, I told you guys be careful with Pachuca. You were adamant. I'm just curious if your primo went big.
You know when the primo goes big on a game? When he doesn't have his heart in it. You know, when he needs a reason to watch the game.
Here he had his heart in it and his heart got broken.
What do you think, boys? Why did his heart get broken? What happened to America here?
I mean, I want to start with America.
Okay.
I think that wouldn't be fair. I don't think that would be fair. Because Pachuca.
Okay.
Pachuca.
I kind of feel like you're deflecting.
They know how to play this game. Let's remember, this very same Pachuca team had already beat America in Liga MX.
Yeah.
And when we were breaking down the game, we thought, well, it's not going to be the same. It's different to play.
Did we think that?
Okay, you did not. Okay. You were very, very smart with this prediction, Herc. You were amazing. We were not.
Keep going.
We are allowed to make mistakes every once in a while. I think we underestimated the quality, not only the intensity, but the quality in this Pachuca roster. That, yes, they do have some very talented young players, but the experienced players also play a big factor. What Salomón Rondón has done, not only scoring, but becoming a leader from this team. Idrissi playing on the left-hand side, that was a problem. That was a problem that América was never able to solve. So let's give credit where credit is due. The best team advanced to the final.
Agreed.
That was Pachuca.
Agreed. Very simple. Styles make fights, right? I saw this style already. A team that takes care of the ball so very well and could suffocate you in possession like America. Let's say that's the Mexican national team. And then I saw a team like Canada go into Azteca and run them ragged, taking the ball away from their playmakers, taking the ball away from their maestros in the midfield. When Jonah Dos Santos, when Alvaro Fidalgo, who are very good at orchestrating with the ball, don't have the ball and they're chasing you, that is bad news for America. You're putting the onus on other players. That's why you saw a better version of Alejandro Sendejas, because Alejandro Sendejas was the only one trying to do something and pulling strings. No Diego Valdez, no Julian Quiñones, no Jonah Dos Santos, very little from Fidalgo. The guys who usually produced from America did not. Why? Because they couldn't touch the ball. When go back to how dynamic this Pachuca team is, they take the ball away from you. And it was route one at times. Yeah. It was goalkeeper Moreno to Rondon. Rondon's second ball, knocked down through the midfield. And De Osa, what a coming out party. Mm. Now everybody knows who he is. This team, the way they play at the velocity, the speed that they play in, too much for America, too much for many teams, but especially a team like America.
Let me add something real quick. Real quick. Everything you said is coaching.
Oh.
And Guillermo Almada 100% out-coached America.
I agree.
And that makes a difference. Coaching matters. At this stage, coaching matters.
Especially America, with young players.
America is a great manager. And this is the exact same reason why many of us thought Guillermo Almada should have been the Mexican national team manager. I was watching this game and I was saying,
Yeah, of course.
Damn you, Orlegi. What did you do?
Say shit.
I won't say that. Okay. That was earmuffs. The manager. What a guy. What a guy.
Say whatever you want.
Amazing manager.
Say earmuffs.
Amazing manager.
I will echo what Mal said, and you took it right from me, Mal. That was gonna
I'm sorry.
Be, that was honest. It's beautifully done. We were thinking alike right now, which is scary. But think about this for a second. How angry should Mexican national team fans be at watching this coach, who they had a chance before Jimmy Lozano, to be with the Mexican national team? Mm-hmm. And many will say, what do you want from Jimmy Lozano? Pep Guardiola with that team, with this player pool, with this weekend player pool, couldn't get them to play better. Guess what? Guillermo Almada, three different teams, okay, has made it to finals before this one with Mexican talent. He's made no-name Mexican players, young Mexican players who have never played in first division, look like this. What do you think he could do if you give him the whole Mexican pool? This should anger Mexican national team fans.
It does.
Ooh, yeah, wow, look at that. What happened to the Lamborghini boys?
You tell me, that was your guy.
Yeah, right.
Listen. Copa America is just around the corner.
You.
Copa America's just around the corner.
This is also isn't on Jimmy.
And if somebody knows that...
Jimmy was a bum battle, you know?
Yeah, but Jimmy's in the hot seat. Let's just face it.
But as a Mexican national
team, Guillermo Almada's warming up.
That could be, he may be on deck. Yeah. He may be on deck. And we all know his political reasons that it wasn't
Almada. We thought he was Almada or Jardine.
Correct.
All we got to do, boys.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now.
Apologies.
Now. Almada or Jardine, I think it's very clear who won that race.
All we got to do, boys, wait for Mexico to bomb out of the Copa America. Then everybody will get their wish. Almada at the head of A3.
There's that optimism.
Speaking of potential, or in this case, former Mexican national team managers, what about our good friend Miguel Piojo Herrera, who is now suddenly out of work? That's right, no longer in charge at Xolos, the club announcing that the two sides were parting ways on Wednesday. Herrera had been at Xolos since February of last year, where Tijuana failed to qualify for the playoffs in any of the last three seasons under Piojo. The former El Tri manager saw his team finish 16th out of 18th in the last Liga MX season. Guys, what do we think's next for Miguel Herrera? It kind of feels like he's coming to the end of his rope, at least in Mexico, huh?
This right here.
ESPN?
Yes, well, I mean, I don't know, but at
does
least
he speak
the
English?
Microphone.
We'd love to have him on Football Americas, huh?
He's trying to learn English. I think it would be smart for Miguel Herrera to take a year off from coaching, from being a manager, reevaluate how he has performed in the last 2 years with Tigres and then Cholos. This was a bad situation. I mean, the team was already bad when Miguel Herrera took over. It was the worst team in Mexican soccer. Now it's not the worst, but like second or third worst team in Liga MX. I mean, yeah. But I mean, I think he should clear his head. He's a great personality. He has been a commentator. He has been a pundit before with us at ESPN. So if I'm Miguel Herrera, I'm taking some time off coaching, going back to the booth if he wants, going back to a debate desk if he wants. He's great at doing that. He's great on TV. But for now on, don't be a manager for a few years, for a year at least.
Go ahead, Seb, because I know how your twisted mind works. Ask me the question you want to ask me. I already know where you're going with this.
I didn't really have a question in mind. I think this is a great shame. You know, I think this is a guy who, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, and we talk about this a lot, right? There's no Mexican managers abroad. Who the best bet for a Mexican manager to go abroad and have some success would be, I might have picked this guy. And I think I'd have had good reason. You know, people forget it now, but when he brought the title to America, they hadn't won in almost a decade. You know, he helped America get back to what they were and then brought another title back. And people forget about that 2014 World Cup team, which you could make the case was one of the best Mexico teams of this last, you know, 30, 40 years in terms of World Cup performance, and coming off the worst World Cup qualifying cycle. So this was a guy who at one point seemed to be one of the bright young minds in Mexican soccer. And here he is now, not being able to find success. But I think, Herc, and maybe this is where you think I'm going, a lot of this is down to his attitude and his behavior. And I know there are links out there that are suggesting he might end up next in Major League Soccer with San Diego. And I know San Diego wants to make headlines, but I don't know if Piojo's the guy to make the right headlines for San Diego based on his behavior at the past, both with Club America and with the Mexican national team.
He's a HR nightmare, a walking liability. He assaulted a member of the press. Let me go just really quick and you can say whatever you want. Assaulted a member of the press. Another physical altercation with LAFC's assistant coach Ante Razov in the CONCACAF Champions League at that point. This is a guy that's made headlines for all the wrong reasons. When he was the coach of the Mexican national team, he had that political campaign, Ponte la Verde. Think about everything that he's ever done as of late. It's been off the field. And that Tigres team, which he called old, that same team, which he alienated their superstars, after he leaves, they go off and win a championship 3-4 months removed. Now, the most valuable thing he has going for him, mouth hit. It's his mouth. It's the microphone. Because as a coach, the best years are behind him.
Yeah, I don't think he's an HR nightmare. I think it's the opposite.
In the U.S.?
I think he's in
Major League Soccer?
I think he's an HR dream. He does everything.
No, that's a PR dream.
Well, yeah, he's right. He's a PR dream. Yes. HR might be different. Yes. Now, yes, he's had his mistakes. I think, you know who I think would be an HR nightmare as well? Tuca Ferretti. Nobody says that.
Of course, but I'm not advocating for Tuca.
Absolute HR nightmare.
I'm not advocating for Major League Soccer.
I think you were a bit too harsh. Yes, he's made some mistakes. Absolutely. And whenever we thought he would learn from those mistakes, right, he would go out and something bad would happen again with Miguel Herrera. Now, I don't think Major League Soccer is the right fit for him.
No.
I just don't see it.
No.
If he only wants to coach because of the money, because he likes living in that area, he likes living in San Diego, and the idea is to bring Chucky Lozano, I don't know if Guillermo Ochoa will be an option or not, it makes sense. But if he still wants to be a relevant manager, Major League Soccer is not for him.
There we go. Miguel Piojo Herrera out at Cholos after a very disappointing season.
Hashtag Miguel Herrera for England.
Ooh, what a story that would be. I'm being told by production now I got to cut you loose for a crazy night in Las Vegas. So as always, great to have you with us here on Football Americas.
Thank you, Seth. I love Herc. Don't embarrass me.
A reminder, you can watch Mao and Herc 5 days a week over on Ahora o Nunca, Monday through Friday. They're on ESPN Deportes. And very exciting now, they're also on YouTube. Make sure to check them out.
Hey, fans. Serginho here. I wanted to let you guys know about my injury. Unfortunately, I tore my ACL. I will have an operation soon, and we'll try to come back as soon as possible to my top level. You know, it will be a difficult time for me, but I know these times only make me stronger, so I will come back to make you all proud. See you soon.
Serginho Des confirming he has a torn ACL, which will rule him out for the Copa America this upcoming summer. The 23-year-old was injured while in training with PSV back on April 20th. He is, of course, on loan from Barcelona and was having just a great season. 2 goals and 7 assists for Des in league play alone as PSV closes in on the Dutch title. Absolutely brutal timing here, Herc, and it looks like it's likely to impact his club future as well.
Yeah, I mean, how could it not? Let's talk about, for a second, the obvious elephant in the room, the transfer. How will this affect the transfer? Maybe not. PSV seem very happy with them. He could be sold. It's a matter of time. Maybe this doesn't affect it one bit. But just the type of player that he is, Seb, so explosive, so quick, so brash and arrogant with the ball, that's going to take a hit. Nobody comes back the same from an ACL. And I mean this in the best possible way. Sometimes you are better for it as a footballer. Sometimes you are smarter for it. Your IQ is heightened. You have to no longer rely on those physical traits, and you have to get better at other things. You can be a better football player for it. And that may be best in the long term. But for players who are so explosive, who are so quick on that first step, to lose something like that, physically, emotionally, psychologically, it's gonna take some time. It's gonna change who Sergiño Dest is. Hopefully, for the better.
So Fabrizio Romano is reporting that PSV are at least reconsidering the potential purchase of Dest because of the injury. It looked like it was gonna be around 10 million euros to bring him over full-time from Barcelona. They're also disappointed over in Barcelona because they wanted to sell Dest, right? They need the money for their own economic reasons. Obviously, man, it's just devastating for Sergiño Dest. And I'm trying to think of what the best case scenario might be here, because I don't think you want him going back and rehabbing at Barcelona, a place where, sure, you know, we don't think he's really wanted. And if PSV is going to kind of pull out of this deal, maybe the best option would just be to extend the loan a year, because he's not going to be back until basically next winter, 2025. Maybe he can catch fire in the back half of next season's Eredivisie campaign and have a transfer in the summer again and boost that value. Because I think honestly, there was a chance he might have stayed at PSV, but I think there was also a chance, based on how well he played, that he might have gotten some interest from bigger leagues, at least, than the Dutch top flight. And that's, I think, one of the bigger disappointments here.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I think that's the biggest disappointment here, is that PSV was a guarantee. I mean, this is a guy that's been in Barcelona, been in AC Milan, some major setups, and after what he did at PSV, maybe there was another major team, major platform to take a chance on him, a flyer on him. That's no longer the case here. And that loan, I mean, if you're PSV, why would you want to pay for him to do rehab if he's not going to be there on a permanent basis? This could really, really muddle those waters for Sergiño Dest and a permanent transfer elsewhere.
Yeah, tough times for Sergiño Dest. Good to see him at least in somewhat good spirits on social media as he announced, at least confirming the ACL injury there to his knee. All right, let's move on with some positive news about Americans abroad. We'll run it back with Haji Wright. Nothing but positive news about this guy. His 16th league goal of the season, 19th overall. It did come, Herc, in a losing effort as Coventry City fell 2-1 to Ipswich Town on Tuesday.
But again, it's Haji Wright doing what he best does, scoring goals, and he scores in all types of ways. I love how he gets in behind defenders, uses his speed, and what a shot right there. 16 for Haji Wright in the championship, 16 for Josh Sargent. We got ourselves a race.
Ooh. Unfortunately, looks like Coventry City and Haji Wright out of the promotion race. They are currently ninth. Doesn't look like they'll be able to make the playoffs there in the championship, but maybe Haji will get some Premier League interest nonetheless. Also on Tuesday, we had the Champions League semifinals. Alphonso Davies, Herc, was on the bench to start the game in the first leg between Bayern and Real Madrid. Real
Madrid,
of course, the team
he's
been linked to a bunch. Game finished in a 2-2 draw. As you see here, he did come on in the 87th minute, tried to come on with the wrong jersey, but did eventually get on the field for the final few minutes of the game. Herc, Davies being benched for the first leg against Real Madrid. What do you think? Something, nothing, or everything?
You know, I don't like to make something out of nothing, but this is everything, my man. If you saw this game, if you saw Bayern Munich against Real Madrid and Alphonso Davies, finally comes onto the field, if you saw the look on his face, if looks could kill, 3 minutes and those 3 minutes that he was on before, that look says it all. Versus a team that your reported transfer is now reportedly cooling down. And Mazraoui started on this one. And it wasn't Alphonso Davies. It wasn't he to showcase himself against the best team in the world in Real Madrid. It was he on the bench, maybe cooling that transfer talk down, and him seeing his hopes and dreams kind of washed away before him. It was sad. It was sad. You want to see Alphonso Davies at the top like he was a few years back when he won against Barcelona to take that team, you know, to the final, to be part of that historic Hansi Flick Bayern Munich team. We thought Alphonso Davies was destined for big things this season, not in the future, this season, and a transfer to Real Madrid. Now, not only are we second guessing that, but apparently, so are Real Madrid.
Well, we talked about this, right? We thought if he plays badly, he might impact the transfer. If he plays really well, he might impact the transfer, make the value a little bit more. I don't think we had in our heads, though I think I did suggest that it might happen, that he would not play, that he would be benched effectively for this game. Now, Herc, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because you've actually been in the player's shoes. But usually, when a player is being frozen out because of a potential move, it's coming from above. It's not necessarily coming from the manager. And if we think about what's going on at Bayern Munich right now, the above is a mess. And the manager is leaving, so the manager's not really beholden to his bosses. So that makes me think this was a Thomas Tuchel decision. That Thomas Tuchel looked at this and thought, Alphonso Davies doesn't give me the best chance to win. And that's shocking to me. But it does follow up a little bit on what we've been hearing when we have people like Ale Moreno and Derek Ray on who cover the Bundesliga and they watch Bayern Munich every week, that Alphonso Davies has not been at his best this season. That said, Herc, I got to think, based on what we saw in the first leg and what we know Real Madrid are capable of in the second leg, you got to have Alphonso Davies start the second leg. I think that's what's going to give Bayern Munich the best chance to win, not having him on the bench. And I know it wasn't Mazraoui that was at fault necessarily, but that Bayern Munich back line was a disaster in the first leg. They do need to change something there ahead of the second leg against Real Madrid.
I thought Mazraoui was fine. I thought if anything that Bayern Munich could have changed would have been the center back positions. Kim had himself a terrible night. I fought for both goals. I don't know what a left back's going to do there.
Davies gives you going forward? I mean, it's a whole nother level of threat there.
That's the thing, Seb. He's not given it this season. As much as I would love to defend Alphonso Davies here, he's not been the same Alphonso Davies. That's why when we spoke about what players could be world-class in the region, I even said Alphonso Davies at his best has a world-class shout. Sometimes this season, that's not been the case. He's not been there. How much of this has been the transfer talk? How much of this has been the I want to get out situation, the mess that is Bayern Munich and their board? Remains to be seen, but he's not been the same player.
Alphonso Davies then in the Champions League semifinals with Bayern Munich. Next year, he may well be in La Liga with Real Madrid. La Liga, of course, live right here on ESPN Plus all this weekend. On Saturday, big game, Mallorca against Atletico de Madrid. Coverage starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on ESPN Plus. All right, Herc, let's talk expansion because it looks like Major League Soccer has its eyes on Indianapolis, which, of course, already has a USL team there in Indy 11. This all started last week when Indy 11 owner, via one of his companies, accused the Indianapolis mayor of walking away from a stadium project the city had already been working on with Indy 11. Hours later, Mayor Joe Hogsett announced that he traveled to New York City and met with MLS Commissioner Don Garber to discuss the possibility of MLS coming to Indianapolis. Herc, are you cool with it? The latest round of MLS expansion.
I feel like I'm going to upset you greatly in this segment. And
wouldn't be the first time.
I want you to yell at me.
Yes, you and your pro MLS ways.
No, I don't want you to
ways.
Yell at me, but mm-hmm. I'm very torn here, Seb, because when I first heard about this, I was thinking to myself, seriously? Big bank take little bank just that easy? Is that what Major League Soccer is trying to do here? You know, they see a market that could thrive in Major League Soccer, and forget about USL, forget about grassroots, forget about what you've done. I'm coming in, big boy, cleaning up. That's mine now, monopoly. But that's not the case here, Seb. I feel terrible for the fans. First and foremost, I feel for the fans and only the fans here. Not the millionaires and their tug of war. Not the politicians. The fans and the taxpayers. That's who I feel for here. But according to everything that I've read, that I've heard from this, the Indy 11 owner wants to make that a Major League Soccer team. Wants that to be the goal. He's been outbid. The city wants a better bid, a better proposal. The taxpayers want a better proposal from what we know as of yet. So while I would love to sit here and say it's big back tank, little bank, bad Major League Soccer, how can you do this to USL? This is my problem with a lot of USL owners. They're in it for, can I make this a Major League Soccer franchise? Can I make proof of concept in this market that it works and align myself with somebody richer to make it happen, to deepen my pockets? And part of me feels like that's what's going on here. It's not as cut as dry as big bank, Major League Soccer, take little bank, USL.
I want to address this from an MLS versus USL perspective, because I do think that's important. But Herc, what if we just for now focus on the expansion side of it, right? We got San Diego coming into the league next year. They're going to be team 30. Now, if you look around the rest of the world at serious leagues, right? Spain, Germany, France, even down in Mexico, the conversations that they're having are not about expanding their top flights to 30 teams. They're actually talking about cutting down on teams 19 and 20 and making a tighter first division. Those are the conversations that are happening in leagues that are focused on competition. So we're not adding, Herc, here a 30th team to make this league more competitive. We're clearly adding it for business reasons. And that's one thing that I think MLS Soccer doesn't take kind of into account here. We don't need any more MLS teams. You have too many teams in the league as it is. Are you going to really sit here, Herc, and tell me that Major League Soccer needs a 31st franchise, and then we're going to pretend like all 31 of these franchises are really first division teams? Please.
I didn't say that. I told you my reason for not being, you know, upset, screaming at the world, which you said nothing about. I'm just curious if you have anything to say about what I said.
I will get to what you said. I asked you another follow-up question. Do you think MLS needs more teams?
No, I don't think a league needs more than 30. I don't think a league team needs more than 20 teams, to be honest. But that's Major League Soccer model right now. And the way things are going in this country, it doesn't look like promotion relegation is around the corner anytime soon.
Yeah. Look, as far as the business side of this is concerned, I think we just have to be honest about what MLS is. And maybe what USL is as well. I don't think there's a differentiation there because it's not all one single entity. MLS is a corporation. They are the Walmart of soccer. And what Walmart does is it goes into small communities. And what happens? The mom and pop shops die. And MLS has done this, obviously want to do it right now in Indy. We know they did it in San Diego. Goodbye, San Diego Loyal. Look at what happened in St. Louis. This is how MLS does business. They let USL or somebody else go into a market, see if it works, and then they look to see if they can capitalize. And that, to me, Herc, whether it's legal or not legal, is just wrong. I don't blame MLS for doing it as a corporation, but as an entity within the greater scope of American soccer, I think it's a very bad move for the overall game here. And I wish, Herc, I wish that USL would stand up, and maybe they will in the coming days, and publicly fight this back. I hope that they will. They won't just sit around and wait for the merger, which might be happening. But I can tell you who won't stand up. I can absolutely guarantee you that it's going to have to come from USL, because it's not going to come from the Federation. We know, because we saw it with the Open Cup. Cindy Parlocone, the president, JT Batson, the CEO, they do not have the courage or the willingness to stand up against Major League Soccer. So they're not going to intervene here. So it's either going to have to be USL fighting a fight, or Herc, or, and this is a chance, the media can do what they do, and sometimes the media can rabble up the fans, but this is really, Herc, I think, going to be a test of Indy 11's fans. The fans there need to get with these politicians that are trying to work this okey-doke and get an MLS team in, and they need to say, we don't want this. We want Indy 11. We don't want MLS. Seb, if they don't do that, Seb, then they can't cry when Indy 11 disappears like the San Diego Loyal.
Seb, the fight here isn't because they don't want MLS. Indy 11 wants MLS. They just want Indy 11 in MLS. That's the fight here. That's why I'm not so up in arms, because the fight here isn't
you've got a club that's invested in a city for years with a fan base that's been there for years, and you want to just walk away from that. So a different billionaire, by the way, whose name we don't even know yet. We don't really know where this money's coming from.
We don't know.
And you think that's better than a team that's been in the community for a decade? That's why American soccer's watered down. That's why it's corporate crap. Because you just want the teams to disappear and put another name on it. And Indy FC United, great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it's that cut and dry, Seb. I mean, there are taxpayers' monies at risk here, and I don't know all the ins and outs of who's affected.
Well, a public-private partnership supposedly with
taxpayers.
Indy 11.
No, not from what I read today. All I am saying is it's not as simple as big bank take little bank. That little bank wants to join that corporate world you hate so much.
Okay. I question your reading comprehension, if that's based on what you read today, but we'll keep working on that here on Football Americas. ESPN FC is also available here on ESPN Plus 7 days a week. I'll be hosting on Friday and Saturday. Tomorrow we're live at 6 p.m. Eastern. Saturday we're live after Mallorca Atleti. So right around 5 p.m. Eastern time. Let's turn our attention to the women's game. U.S. Soccer and the Mexican Federation have withdrawn their bid to co-host the 2027 Women's World Cup and will instead focus on securing the 2031 World Cup. This was announced Monday by both federations. The United States and Mexico were one of three finalists to host the 2027 tournament, along with Brazil and the European trio of Belgium, Germany, and the Netherlands. Now, as far as where 2027 World Cup is actually going to end up, it looks like it will be Brazil. This according to the latest reporting from Meg Linehan over at The Athletic. FIFA is set to vote on May 17th, and of course, Brazil has plenty of experience hosting these big tournaments, 2014 Men's World Cup, 2016 Olympics, where the U.S. Women's National Team went out in the quarterfinal round. For more on the big decision, we welcome in actually a member of that 2016 Olympic team, Ali Krieger. Ali, great to have you with us here on Football Americas. I know it's disappointing, but I'm curious just your general reaction to seeing that the U.S. is going to hold off for four more years on that World Cup joint bid with Mexico.
Yeah. Hi. It's good to be back. I do think it's a good plan, because I don't think they originally had a plan. I think they just, you know, we just put our name in hopes that, you know, we can maybe follow through after the men's 2026 World Cup. And I think that we deserve our own plan and our own bid and our own ideas and our own execution for making this the best World Cup ever. And I don't know necessarily they were prepared for that. And I think that it's a good idea to withdraw and then maybe go back to the drawing board, really come up with a plan that's going to really influence the women's game like it has been right now and in the positive direction that it's going. And also just have more ammo behind it and just a better idea of what we want to do and how we want to execute it along with Mexico. And I think this could be a huge collaboration with Liga MX Femenina and the way that they have been progressing in their league and how we have the summer league coming up together. And I just believe that they need to go back to the drawing board and make sure that this is going to be executed the way that we all envision. So I do think it's a good idea. I don't necessarily think that a World Cup should be split between three countries, like in Germany, Netherlands, and Belgium. I do think that Brazil does have the upper hand in this now that we have withdrawn with Mexico. because in 2011, we had an amazing World Cup in Germany, and I thought that was just executed so well, and it was just such a great tournament and so positive for the women's game that I hope that it can be that way in Brazil, and I'm hoping that they get the bid.
They were projecting some pretty big numbers around this tournament. Record fans, record revenue, maybe north of $3 billion. So whenever it does come here, I'm sure it'll be a great success. The one thing we do miss out on, Allie, and we've talked about it before on this show, is that chance for five straight summers of major tournaments on home soil. We got Copa America, we got Club World Cup, we got the Men's World Cup, we got the Olympics in 28. We just needed 27 to get filled in there, and we're going to miss out for now. But we'll have to wait, I guess, till 2031. Let's turn our attention now to the club game, because we know who the finalists will be now in the Champions League final. Going to be Barcelona against Lindsey Horan's Lyon. Barcelona, of course, beating Emma Hayes' Chelsea in the semifinal in quite controversial fashion. Allie, what does it say about Lindsey Horan that she's the only American playing here in the Champions League final?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, she deserves it. She's had a great season. She's been so influential and impactful for not only Lyon, but the national team. She's proven herself game after game. She's, you know, one of their leaders now within the squad. She's been there for a few years. She's made such a critical impact for their team. And she's one of the players that they look to really carry the team and to hopefully, you know, win another Champions League final. But for her, this just solidifies how consistent she is, how good she is at this level, both in club and the national team. She's really done a great job, I think, within the squad, kind of coming in and not really knowing how this would turn out, obviously playing with players who could possibly be even better than her. And she's just gained that experience, gained that exposure, gotten more technical and just knowledgeable about the game. And the vision now that I see, when she's on the field has been impeccable. Honestly, I loved playing with her before and being her teammate, but now just watching her progress and gain that experience and just playing week in and week out at this level has really elevated her game. And I think now getting to the Champions League final once again for her just solidifies how impactful she is both on this level and at the national team level and why she deserves to be there. So I'm really happy for her. I think they deserve it, and it's going to be a great matchup.
Lyon Barcelona in the Champions League final, May 25th. Lindsey Horan going for her second Champions League title. She won one back in 2022 as well. Allie, we got some sad news. Well, maybe not so sad. A reason to celebrate, really. But we are saying goodbye to Kelly O'Hara, who announced her retirement from professional soccer earlier today. This, Allie, obviously a contemporary of yours. You played with her for both club and country, won two World Cups, won an Olympic gold, is a Gotham FC defending NWSL champion with you as well. What's her legacy?
She's amazing. She has given the game so much, and she has progressed into such a powerful leader towards the end of her career. And I think I saw a different side of Kelly too when she joined Gotham. I felt like I've missed that competitive determined, driven mentality that I shared with her playing alongside her on the national team. And I was so happy that she had signed with Gotham to come and kind of share that, you know, last year, or my last year, I should say, with her and alongside her, because she's such a winner too. And, you know, a lot of the younger players really look to her for the information, really look for her to that guidance and that leadership. And I really value that about her. I think she's, I saw her at the very beginning of her career coming into the national team, and now just seeing the progression that she's made and the impact that she's made, not only on the field, but off the field with the fans and her fellow players and peers, and then also coaches and staff members. I think the way she carries herself is really unmatched, and I really value that about her. I appreciate that about her, and she's done such a great job in her career to really solidify herself as one of the best to play, both club and country. And I think that Gotham will give her the ending that she deserves, and you know, somewhat like they did for me. But it's just, you obviously can't compare and contrast, and you know, it'll be a little bit different, but they will give her everything that she deserves, and it's all good. You know, on my end, that I see for her, and I'm excited to see what the team can do. Maybe this will give them a little extra motivation to want to succeed and get back to where we were last year. But I'm really thrilled for her. She's done an excellent job for the game. She's given so much, sacrificed, you know, tremendous amounts of time and energy and effort. And so she really deserves, you know, this ending that we all want. And I think it's great timing for her. And I'm excited to see what the season has in store for her and what's left.
As they say, it's one thing to break into the national team. It's another thing to stay there. Kelly O'Hara with a 14-year run with the U.S. Mm-hmm. Women's National Team. Absolutely impressive. As always, very impressive. Ali Krieger, great to have you with us here on Football Americas. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Seb. See you then.
There she is, Ali Krieger. Speaking of her former team, Gotham FC, the defending champions, they're in action on Saturday against the North Carolina Courage. We've got a game on big CBS this week as well. Washington Spirit. Taking on Gotham Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. All right, that'll just about do it for us here on this edition of Football Americas. We will be back on Monday, where we'll be covering, of course, the Liga MX play-in game, as well as all the action from across Europe, the National Women's Soccer League, USL, and anybody else that does anything as it relates to North American soccer. He's Herc. I'm Seb. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on Monday.